Welcome everyone to Rock Talk Podcast. Today we have on Chain Flower. Chain Flower is comprised of Kelly Wheeler, Sid Duran, and Renan Bozzio. Pretty sure I said your name correct, right?
Close enough. It's Renan Bozzio.
Renan Bozzio. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. It's a weird one, though. I don't expect you to know how to pronounce it, or I really don't expect anybody to know how to pronounce it. It's quite confusing. I've been friends with people for a whole year of my life that still called me Ronan because they looked at it on Facebook for so long and thought of me as Ronan, and every time, like, they would even be like, oh, sorry, bro, Ronan. I know it's Ronan. This is ingrained in the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Well, it's so nice to have you guys on here. I've been checking you guys out since I heard from you, and you guys fucking rock, I gotta say.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I checked out Brave. That one was a pretty sick track. I gotta say, this new one, She Rides Fire.
Yeah.
Damn, you guys killed it. Sid, your voice is amazing on this track.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, just all together, I'm really enjoying the sound, and I can't wait to hear what else you guys have down the pipeline. But first question I wanted to ask is, when were you all formed? When did you form Chain Flower?
It was sort of an evolution. Sid and I met like a year and a half ago. I think we started working together, or maybe it was 2 years ago. So we had an ad running for a new singer. Chain Flower has been around for a little bit, but I was never happy with singers. So she answered an ad and came down to audition, and we're just floored, you know, blown away about everything about Sid. Her voice, her look, you know, professionalism, and, you know, we just went from there. She dug what we were doing. Are we still there?
Nice.
I lost the video.
Yeah, nice.
So then from there on, we started writing, and that, you know, gelled really quickly. We wrote Brave almost immediately, started recording. We started playing shows. That year, we played the Viper Room, and then we played, I think it was Silver Lake, right? Los Globos.
Mm-hmm.
We had a show. And then I met Renan at a Tool show, actually, backstage. A good friend of mine, Ryan Brown, incredible drummer, knows Renan as well, and as it turns out, knows Sid. But Ryan and I went to that show, and he's all, wow, you know, there's going to be this drummer there that you should meet, because I was telling him that we weren't happy with our drummer entirely, and we're really still looking, and he said, you guys would really get along, and I'll introduce you. So we were backstage, and we met. It's all good. I gave him my contact, and then Renan came down to jam with Sid and I, and he just blew us away again. He killed the set and everything. We're just going, dude. This is like fit.
What else would you expect?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I mean, so you're a solid drummer.
It was funny. We were all geared up, you know, totally.
Wait, I'm sorry. Were you complimenting my drumming? Could you repeat that, please? That you were cutting out a little bit.
I got to say, you're a solid drummer.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. That means a lot. Continue, Kelly.
Sorry about that.
It was like the end of the year, and almost like it was pretty much the beginning of 2020. We started jamming and planning our whole schedule, plan of attack and stuff, and then everything shut down. So that's how we came to meet, and we just, you know, said nothing's gonna stop us, and nothing has. You know, we kept recording and releasing and done videos, and here we are.
Yeah. So actually bleeds in really well into the next question I have is, what's the recording process been like during the pandemic? Like, has it been hard for you guys to get some studio time?
It took us a little while to get in there. Yeah. You know, we were kind of cautious. Everybody was kind of letting things settle. But in the meantime, everybody was still working. We were all still practicing our parts, doing stuff like that. And then, a friend of mine, Clay Davies, has a studio right next to Sound City, which is a legendary studio. So we're legendary adjacent for this recording.
Legendary
this recording. And yeah, we got in. We finally recorded some drums in like summer. I think was it around like June or
it was over the summer.
Yeah, something like that. May or June, we were able to get in there, record the drums. When we realized how good the drums sounded there, we decided to do one of our live streams there and kind of mix it up. So yeah, but other than that, it hasn't changed too much. Once we went back in there, it's not like the studio was getting that much action anyway. So we just went in, recorded, did what we did, and now we're continuing to write and continuing to kind of keep rolling on, you know.
Nice. Yeah. Fuck yeah. That actually, also hilariously, another good lead in. I was wondering, do you guys have an album in the pipeline? Have you been working on one?
We just been doing singles, and I think we're going to continue with that. So we have, so far we have two brand new singles. She Rides Fire is the newest one, and now we have a new music video for that song. And yeah, we have another single that's going to be hopefully released soon. We're going to make an announcement of that. And so singles are what we're focusing on right now.
Cool. Yeah. And speaking about the She Rides Fire music video that does come out tomorrow, April 12th. And I wanted to ask, what was your guys' like favorite part of filming that music video?
Sid?
I had a great time. It was awesome. I think this isn't my favorite, but just something I'm thinking about right now. Just jumping in the van with, I'm calling it a van. I don't remember what kind of SUV it was, with Rainin and Kelly at 4 a.m. and just like knowing like, okay, we're going to go do this. Like it's still dark outside. We're going to make this video happen. It was kind of nostalgic of like touring and being on the road. I think for all of us, we were kind of like getting in the groove, like, you know, just jamming some great music and just knowing like we're all in this together. So it's all on our shoulders to make this happen. We didn't have like a big old video crew or anything. We had the essentials, like the three key players, a cameraman, and basically, I mean, Raymond will tell you a story about his drumsticks in a minute, or lack thereof. But we just had like only what we needed and we went out there and made it happen. So like it was just a really fun day. I think we were exhausted at the end of it, but I just have like all good memories from that day.
Cool.
Yeah, there was a lot of camaraderie built, you know, kind of having to do that, wake up early, slug your stuff into a van, get, you know, cramped up. Like we squeezed this thing as full as we could possibly fit it with three adults. Like it was insane. It was one of those things where it's like, all right, if we can suffer through this and get through this together, like we got this, you know. We haven't really been tested because we haven't been able to play that much. I haven't even played a show live with these guys yet. We've done some live streams and recordings and stuff like that, but you know, our plan was to hit shows spring of 2020, so you know, we've just been kind of preparing and doing this thing. So we haven't been able to go through that stuff that a band regularly goes through, you know, in this time when you're kind of still in the formative, you know, the stages of growth, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Cool. What about you, Kelly? Do you have any favorite moment?
I think it was amazing when we got the setup done and we saw how crazy it's going to look on camera, you know, because we were in this isolated desert with nothing around us, literally. So it was this big epic view and we had all our gear set up. So just seeing that little stage that we created was pretty cool. We had like an incident with the drone and the cameraman. That was crazy. That was like a little drama where he cut his fingers really bad. It was like blood everywhere. It looked like somebody died. And that's the way to grab that. But, you know, we sort of overcame all these obstacles, which is really cool. And yeah, it was a lot, like they said, it was like touring back in the day. It was really cool to revisit that, even if it was for a video. So hopefully that's going to be more of that in the future. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. And you guys are mentioning tour dates, and I saw on your Facebook page that you guys are about to announce some live shows. And I was wondering, is that like that a full-on tour you guys are planning? And if so, is it going to be like a full North American, or are you doing like a coast at a time?
We haven't been able to announce anything yet because the venues that we want to book us aren't ready to open just yet, even though California, you know, obviously announced, and there's other states that are opening. We're still putting that together, you know, what this next live phase is. We have an event in July that's already booked, but that's going to be like a taped event. Even though it's a live show, it's going to be a taped event as well, and then it's going to be broadcast after. So, I mean, that's going to happen probably in the next either a few weeks or months that we're going to be able to announce more live shows.
Nice. Awesome. Sid, this is actually something I really wanted to ask you. It's because I've heard about it before from some female fronted bands, and especially now that I've got one to talk to. Have you come across any hardships or struggles or any of this extra like shit that you get from being in the music industry for being a female fronted band?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that it's kind of like what you make of it. Like for me, I only know this journey of having a career in music as a female, cause I'm a girl. That's what I am. And I don't know it any other way. So to me, it's just like, yeah, it's just a hardship or a hurdle that I had to overcome, whether it was, you know, having to prove myself in a room full of men, or like having to share the stage with somebody. We're on the same bill, and you know, getting like a certain time slot or whatever because I'm a girl, or you know, like, and so I can interpret it that way and be like, oh, it's just because I'm a girl, they don't respect me. Or I could be like, it's just because I haven't been out here paying my dues as long as this other band has, you know. And so no matter what, I'm just moving forward, and I love it. I love female fronted band. I love that term because that's what we are, and I think it sets us apart a little bit. And as long as you're doing it to the best of your ability, you know, and you're just kicking ass, it doesn't really matter. It shouldn't be like a reflection of your gender. It's just you as a band. Like, are you good or do you suck? You know? So that's how I look at it.
Fucking rock on, girl. And you kill it, so it doesn't matter. You have the powerful vocals to keep on, and it doesn't matter what you got. It just matters if you got the talent to go with it.
Yeah, so thank you.
I respect you, girl.
Thank you.
I was wondering, have you guys been headliners already? Have you already been doing like your own headlining shows prior to pandemic?
We actually did headline at the... what was it? Was it the Viper Room? I think the Viper Room show was we headlined.
Yeah, but that was.
Yeah, Raina didn't play that show. That was right before the shutdown.
That's why they only headlined and didn't sell out and headline.
We've all, like individually, we have all headlined shows and headlined tours and been supporting acts of big bands. But Chainflower in this stage with the three of us is a little bit newer. And then of course we got slowed down because of the pandemic. So we're like just at the beginning of what we're going to be doing together.
Nice. Awesome. And I being in a band, there's always like the greats and there's always the downfalls, the downside to it all. What would you guys say is like the best part of being in the band? Like the part that you look forward to every day?
Brandon?
I love playing live, playing music, playing with, you know, playing with people is a really important thing to me, not only because I'm a drummer and people, you know, as much as they enjoy watching drum solos or seeing drummers play by themselves, drums are really great when they're accompanied by other instruments, and I feel the same with those other instruments. They're even better when they're accompanied by drums. So when I get to play with other people and, you know, hear their music, I love improvising and being able to just jam on things and create and, yeah, and then playing live and playing in front of people and getting that reaction out of people, making them excited by sharing your art and seeing the reactions that they have, it can really just make your day. I've played a lot of fun shows, you know, all over the world, and man, you know, especially in foreign countries or places outside of the U.S., you know, the fans and their whole energy and stuff like that is so refreshing and so cool, and how excited they are to see you play, you know, the things that they'll do, printing, like, they'll go out onto your Facebook, like, I've played, like, hired gun gigs, you know, and they would go onto the Facebook and see that, oh, this guy's playing for this, and they would find my page and print pictures out of me from, like, you know, me playing with this band or that band, and then, like, get me to autograph and stuff, and I was like, oh, man, that's, like, so sweet that you kind of, like, went through, you know. Not to say that I don't feel like a rock star already, but it just, like, it's that kind of stuff, you know, does really make you feel good.
Yeah.
Makes you feel validated, you know? There's, like, a reason behind doing this instead of just for your own selfish artistic desire or expression, which is fine, too. And I think there should be kind of a healthy balance of both of those, you know? Or whatever you choose to do. If that's the kind of music you want to right and you want to just be a singular thing and only create for yourself, that's a beautiful thing too, you know. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah. What about you guys?
You know, one of the greatest things is that when a band really gels and you become close to them and it really becomes a family, and I think that's what this band is, you know, and that's sort of what we're all about right now. And that's the vibe, you know, live, definitely, that everybody in the room can feel when we're on stage, you know, how close we are, and we're just projecting that out with, you know, music and love. So I think we're just trying to grow this thing so that we can reach as many as possible, you know.
That's awesome.
That's right.
Sid, what about you? Or do you agree with Kelly?
I mean, when you first asked the question, you know, I always go to, like, okay, what's my answer in case I get called on, you know? I think it's just, like, in me, because I love songwriting so much, like, it's so important to me, that the creative process is really what I enjoy. But I have to say that as soon as Rainin said live shows, I was like, oh, of course. Like, that trumps everything. It's just, like, this chemical, I don't know, reaction that you can't get from sitting in a room by yourself or even with your buddies and your band, you know. It's just like you're feeding off of the energy of the crowd, and that's something that can't be created or forged, you know. Like, it's just something that happens naturally when you're on a stage and you've got people reacting to the music that you've put time in to create. So I have to agree with the guys that it is the live shows that I love the most.
Awesome. God, that is a cute dog.
I know. Yeah. So cute.
Oh, my God.
We have a few band dogs.
Yeah, the band dogs.
I just had a question. What is, like, everyone always has, like, that dream venue that they want to play at, like, before a lot of bands were like, oh, sell out Wembley, you know? What would you guys say is, like, the dream venue to be playing a gig at?
I think festivals in Europe, you know, the big festivals, because that's really our sound and who we are. There's so many great, huge festivals in Germany and UK and South America and Mexico as well. So any huge festivals, that's where we're going to be.
Yeah, definitely. I could see you guys on Rock'em Ring.
Oh, yeah.
That's the dream. I can't wait, man. There's nothing like playing a festival and the wave, you know, the wave of people as that energy. And just to be able to, like, you know, they're all hyped. If you're up on a stage at a festival, it's so easy to just go, let me hear you, or, like, come on, like, and then everybody yeah. and just see them react, yeah. throw their hands up, you know.
We can have people doing heart hands, and they just don't even know what this is, but they're just going to do it because you do it.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that my goal is to play EDM festivals, and no rock band has done that yet. So, you know, like huge festivals like Tomorrowland or Electric Daisy, I mean, those are still audiences that love rock and great bands. And for us to break into that market would be huge. Literally, no rock band has done that yet. So that's where we're headed to.
You know? That'd be pretty sick.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Awesome. Well, it's coming up to the end of it, and I'm giving us some extra time because it's the first time I've had free guests. So I normally ask my guests near the end what their top five most influential albums to them are. So I'd like to go around the table. You guys can pick who starts and name the top five most influential albums.
Or we should do ladies.
Ladies first.
I really wish I would have had some.
If it's gonna be hard, I can go for you guys.
I'm gonna let Rainin go.
I'll go in the meantime. Let these guys prepare themselves. Top five most influential albums. And the thing is, this is an ever-changing list, but I would say the albums that got me where I am, if I didn't hear those albums and they perhaps didn't expand my horizons, then yeah, I probably wouldn't be here today. So number one would be Undertow by Tool. I think that's the name of the album. Yeah, Undertow, which is their first full-length album. And granted, more of their music influenced me, but that was the first one that I heard. So I have to give it to that because that's what, you know, that opened up the floodgates for me to all these different types of bands and all this more kind of progressive side of metal music and experimental side of metal music, and the snowball just kept rolling from there. So that's definitely one of them. I would have to say Abingdon Boys School. I believe it's their self-titled album. They're a Japanese band that has been insanely influential by me to me, and you know, that first album when that came out and hearing their stuff, I'd never heard people mix this like heavy metal and rock stuff with great pop vocals. And that's something that kind of drew me to Chainflower as well. You know, that has a lot of similar elements of that band. Let's see, three would have to be Periphery's first album. Even though, again, it's not necessarily my favorite of their material. That was the first one, you know, all those songs, that's inspired a whole nother genre of music, you know, that all these people are kind of making their bread off of. Then I would say, as far as rap albums go, it would have to be the 36 Chambers by Wu-Tang Clan. Like, that album is just incredible. Track after track is so freaking good. And then what was that, four right there? That's four.
Yeah.
The fifth would be Cassiopeia. That's the name of the band, and the album is called Halley, and that's like a jazz fusion record that I really, really love. So Halley, like Halle Berry, and Cassiopeia with like the keyboard and the vegetable. Cassiopeia. Yeah, it's a constellation. I would highly recommend y'all checking out all those bands. That's two Japanese bands, two metal bands, and a rap band for you. So dig it.
Yeah, good mix right there.
Yeah, and I tried to pick some stuff that maybe not everybody's heard, because I could go down the list saying, oh, Alice in Chains, Dirt, or you know, all these just could go on forever, right? And Soundgarden, right. A million bands that we love. But those are the five that really shaped my drumming and my musical styling and stuff that I like, you know.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Who's next?
Did you want me to go, or did you have five?
Okay, so I'm gonna twist this question up a little bit because I can do that because I'm the interviewee.
Go for it, girl.
Girl
power. Mixed in this.
I'm going to list you some heavily influential songs, okay? And so one of them is Hurt by Nine Inch Nails. I've always loved that song. It's inspired a lot of songwriting and just a lot of like emotions. So that's a great one. I feel like you have to listen to that song. Jeff Buckley, it's a phenomenal vocalist and guitar player. I'm hugely inspired by him, And but the album is Grace, if you want to check that out. That was one of the first albums I listened to, like after I got signed. My A&R, one of the nice things he did for me was he asked me if I knew who Jeff Buckley was, and I didn't. I was really young. and he's just like, you got it. You're a singer. Like, your voice is your instrument, and you need to know who this guy is. So love Jeff Buckley. Unfortunately, he's not with us, so he's not making any new music, which really bums me out. But that was a really great album. Radiohead is another band that I think just really paved the way for a lot of other bands, myself included. So now I'm just naming bands that I like. Like, I'm not even answering your question at all.
Well, and you know, Abingdon Boys School actually got their name from the school that Radiohead went to.
Oh,
see? That's how they got their name. So yeah, it's all tied in one way or another. They did influence a lot of bands, and really, yeah, they don't sound much like Radiohead, but that's their namesake right there. So it just goes to show you, you know.
Yeah. And I'll do one more because this is just a fun one. When I was a young girl, I was absolutely in love with Sebastian Bach. And so,
life you got.
Yeah, so Skid Row, I love Skid Row. Like, I know they're kind of like, I don't want to say anything about them, but that album.
They were great at the, especially in their prime. In their prime, man, they had so many great songs, and they were really heavier than a lot of people give them credit for. And
you can't go anywhere without you can't go anywhere without hearing 18 in Life.
Yeah, or Youth Gone Wild. You know what I mean? You hear those? Those are staples.
The ballads, I Remember You. Yeah. I remember you. Yeah, I think a lot of my influences have to do with the singer. Not always, but like if it's like this killer vocalist, male or female, like that's gonna get my attention. Mm. Yeah.
Nice.
Mine are probably more around the guitar players. So there's a great album that's not that well known by a group called Killing Joke, but their record Nighttime was really influential by a lot of bands, including Nirvana, who actually stole the riff to one of their songs from Killing Joke's song 80s. And that was something that Dave Grohl regretted and talked about and actually recorded an album with Killing Joke to make amends because of that. So that album is incredible, Nighttime. Of course, a lot of Led Zeppelin albums for me, like Physical Graffiti, Number One and Number Two are incredible. You know, those are like legendary albums. The one that Rainin mentioned from Alice in Chains, Dirt, is another legendary influential record. That album is like set such a high bar.
It's a masterpiece. It's just an absolute masterpiece. There's not a bad moment of music on that album.
Every minute.
That's so true.
The other one that's really a big influence for me is Black Sabbath. And the particular record, Volume 4, doesn't usually get a lot of press. I mean, they did just release a huge 40th anniversary edition, but that record is another one where there's not like a bad moment on the whole record. It's incredible. And yeah. So these bands obviously were guitar driven bands, and you know, that's really where I started from, and that's what I listen to. Like Sid listens to singers, I listen to guitar players. So
fuck yeah. Awesome. There's good answers from every single one of you. Awesome.
What about yours? Give us Unless everybody's already heard it a million times, you could give us just the top three.
I've actually never answered my own question, but I know the first thing I gotta say is Slipknot's Iowa.
Nice. Classic as well, man. Classic as well.
That stands out like a motherfucker to me.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have to say Hysteria from Def Leppard.
Absolutely great album.
That's like reaching back there. Nice. Yeah.
Holy Diver, Dio.
Yes. Good.
Amazing.
Such a good album. Oh my god.
Remember we were listening to Dio on the way to the desert.
Yeah, we were listening to Rainbow. I always like to put on Rainbow Rising when I'm in the desert or going out to the desert or doing any psychedelics, really. Anything involved with that kind of stuff, you know.
It was groovy.
I'd have to say probably the White Album from Avenged Sevenfold.
Okay.
And the fifth album, it's rough because that one, I think it would have to be a toss-up between Zep 4 and Sabbath Paranoid.
Oh, nice.
Two extremely legendary albums.
Can't go wrong.
Those are the ties for the last one.
Those are all great, yeah.
Awesome. Well, guys, it was great having you on. Everyone, check out the She Rides Fire music video. It's going to be available right now if you're listening and watching this. The link will be in the description if you're on YouTube. If not, go to YouTube, search up Chainflower, She Rides Fire. Watch this fucking music video. I heard it's cinematic as fuck. I enjoy that. I studied film, so hell yeah. And it's good music. So
can't wait to hear what you think about it. Yeah, gotta let us know.
Give them some positive comments. Thank you guys for coming on. Okay. I wish nothing but the best for you.
Or give us negative comments. You know what I mean? As long as you're giving us a reaction, that's better than no reaction.
Start a debate.
Anything. Just anything. We'll take abuse or love. we're starved for attention.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on. I wish nothing but the best for you and love every single thing that I've hearing from you guys.
Thank you so much.
Rock the fuck on.
Thank you. Hell yeah. You too, brother.